morning there, boys and girls, moms and dads, and cast net throwers of all ages. This is Fish and Frank here in the chair, and we got Buster Calusa.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Calusa cast nets. Cracker cast nets. The cast net guy. The guru of cast nets we're going to be talking to. And he is going to be at the tent sale March 19th. Yes, indeed, March 19th. It's if you're into fishing, you're going to meet some of the coolest people on the planet. I mean, we're going to get more into that, but we got a big lineup this year. It's Saturday, March 19th, and let's get to our guest, and I can shut up, and that'll be better. All right. Hi there.
Hi there, Frank.
All right. Now, who are you with Calusa Cast Nets?
I'm Buster with Calusa Cast Nets. I'm the founder and owner of Calusa. We've been in business now just about 20 years now.
So, now, it's the one thing we brag about at our show. I get guys like you to show up. I mean, I know I have to threaten, bribe, and blackmail, but I mean, you know, it works. You show up, you know.
Well, you bring the people in, Frank. We'll be here to show them how to cast net, what cast net to use, and so on. So,
well, that's what's going to be a lot of fun that day is we're going to get you an area so you can actually throw cast nets and give demonstrations. And we do cast net lessons every day here at the store for people. But you get to, when you come to the tent sale March 19th, you're actually going to be able to meet Buster and talk to him about the cast nets, find out what the best one to do different types of stuff with, because not every net does everything, does it?
Yeah, correct, exactly. There's a lot of people that are confused about cast nets, but there's a lot of things you need to look at as far as mesh size, you know, the weight of the net, how big a net, where you're throwing to get bait, and the bait you're targeting. So we definitely will go through all that and have individual questions and be happy to answer them all. So
that's the most fun part of that day is this will be your first tent sale, and you haven't experienced chaos in its proper form yet.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I will tell you, as you well know, I don't have always the best reputation for as far as being a wonderful guy, but my reputation of having the best, nicest customers on the planet, I mean, I do have the coolest customers on the planet, and when you come that day, you're going to see how I got this reputation, because these are the nicest people you ever met. We have 3,000 people show up, and the one thing they do is they come time and they like to ask questions, and they're really cool. We encourage questions all the time. And now me, if I'm in the middle of the harbor looking for thread fins, let's say for tarpon fishing, I'm out there and I'm looking at a 5/8 inch mesh. Now that opens up almost what, an inch and a quarter?
About an inch and a quarter, and that's going to definitely sink a lot quicker, and that's what you're looking for there. So,
and I'm going to go at least 10 foot, maybe a 12, because the problem when you get that deep water, when the net hits the water, the bait starts swimming away from it.
They're very quick. They're used to getting thrown out a lot out there. So,
you got to have a net that falls quick and gets down. Now, the difference between that and if you're out there and you're trying to throw a quarter-inch mesh out in 10, 14 feet of water, it takes so long to get to the bottom. It acts kind of like a parachute.
That's exactly right. Just what we call the bed sheet is the quarter-inch. It's a lot smaller, a lot less sink rate on it, but if you're after the small baits, it's wonderful because they don't gill in it. So
Now, I would never want that 5/8 tarpon thread fin because I'm looking for big thread fins there. I mean, stuff the size of my hand. And it allows the smaller bait to get out of the way and goes through there and captures the bigger bait. But if I'm back on 2-3 feet of water in the flats looking for greenbacks, which are 3 inches long, I definitely don't want the same net.
Definitely do not. You can't. You're going to pull up, again, what everyone calls a Christmas tree or gilling net, and there's going to be a lot of baits that are gilling in it. You're killing the bait. And you're also having to sit there for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes pulling baits out. So,
and so I'm going to drop down to that quarter inch back on the flats. So if I'm back in very shallow water, I like having the finer mesh because I don't gill the bait. I actually can catch it, get it up in the boat, cull it out. You know, okay, this one's too small. I don't want this. I want that. I want this one. I don't want that one. And allows me to get the bait up without doing much damage.
Much damage to the bait, correct. It helps a lot. It really does. So
then, but if I get out around the markers and I'm trying to find that same 3-inch bait, and I try to throw that quarter again. Now, as you say, bed sheet, parachute, it sinks so slowly, it's very hard to get bait. So now I'm looking at a 3/8 inch mesh. And in my boat, I have a hatch in the deck of the boat on the floor, and I have two cast nets in there, and I have room for one more, but I only put that in tarpon season. I have my quarter inch, I have a 10-foot quarter and a 10-foot 3/8. They used to be 12s, but I got old.
You know? I understand that, believe me.
I'm just not throwing 12s anymore, man.
No, I'm with you. I sell them, but I don't want to. If you do throw it, you want to throw it one time and hope it's over. So
yeah, it's one and done, or I'm gone.
Yeah.
And if I'm not on the boat writhing in pain because my back just doesn't take it anymore. I started throwing 16s and commercial fishing in 16-foot nets and 14-foot nets. And then as a charter boat captain, I threw 12s. And then all of a sudden one day I'm like, no, I think this 10 is fine.
Yeah, you start getting the age on you. It definitely starts hurting you. There's no doubt about it. So
yeah, well, you know, you break your neck and your back a couple of times. And there is kind of a thing. Now, you can get away with a 6 or an 8 foot net back in on the flats. And if you're not chartering, what difference does it make if it takes you an extra few throws?
Well, it's not a problem either. And a lot of people are in kayaks and smaller boats. They don't have the elaborate bait wells and so on and so forth. So a smaller net will be fine. And in the bait we have here, usually in the harbor during the spring, maybe right not this time of year, but it definitely, there's so much bait that you can get them with a small net. You're not going to be out there all day like a guide and fishing, so.
Well, and the other thing I judge it by, too, is kind of where I was going with, I used to throw this, and now I throw that. When you're a certain age, if you've never thrown a cast net, that's muscles that you've never used in that way before. So starting out with a smaller, nicer net is actually a smarter idea. You really don't want to start out trying to throw a 10 or a 12. And if it's going to be your first net, I strongly encourage people to do the 6 or 8 foot nets and try and avoid the heavier net. Now, you have the Calusa and the Cracker.
Correct.
Now, which one's the heavier?
They're both the same amount of weight. I do make a heavier 5/8 in the Calusa, but they're all a pound and a half per foot. My Calusas are my Cadillac neck. I reinforce the top and the bottom to make them stronger. They're kind of... Those are your stress points in a cast net that'll either rip or come apart. So we try to make that a lot stronger at the lead line. So the mesh is a little stronger, and the brails, which are the lines that go through the net, are stronger.
Okay. When you have a cast net, you know, people see that rope around the bottom and has the lead weights on it. That is, you know, your lead line.
It's our lead line, correct.
And then at the top of the net, there's a round plastic piece, and that's called the horn.
It's our horn, yeah.
Now, from the rope to make the net into a capture bag, there's monofilament lines that go from the rope. They're all tied together down to the lead line on the bottom, and those are the braille lines.
Correct.
And when you throw the net out, it opens up like a big frisbee pancake, hits the water. As you pull it, now... One of the things I find is you've got to pull all them braille lines, and it sucks the lead line all into one place, creating a big pocket. That's what actually captures your bait. Now, I don't like just giving pulls on it. I actually do small jerks on it. Do you find that better? Or?
Yeah, I think it does do better, and it also helps if you're at an angle from the net and not right over the top of it. So what you're doing is the same thing as you're trying to gradually close the bottom. If you try too quick, a lot of times bait will escape out of the bottom. So,
well, in my opinion, you know, I'm sitting there and I've got the net loaded. I see the bait and I throw, and then I let it go down, especially on the flats. Now, sometimes in open water, I don't let it go all the way to the bottom if I'm not sure where I'm throwing. I don't want to get it trapped, and nets are relatively expensive,
yeah.
You know, which you're going to be giving some really good deals on nets, I hear, that day.
I think there'll be some good discounts that day, no doubt.
You're going to give some really good deals on some nets. And, you know, and always keep in mind, squeaky wheel doesn't get grease. It gets replaced with a better wheel. And the nicer you are, the better your discounts.
That helps.
That's my customers anyway. I don't have squeaky wheel customers. You know,
we'll be doing a lot of discounting, and we'll also be showing the way we throw nets. We got a real easy way to throw that we can teach a lot of people. So
anyway, but back on the flats, when I throw that out there, I let it hit the water and it goes down to the bottom, and what I'm trying to do is kind of inch it along the bottom, and I work my hand in slow jerking motions, pulling it closer to me to close the bottom of the net, because I've watched, and if you pull too hard on the net, it lifts those lead weights up, and the bait can escape underneath it.
Correct, yep.
So either a very slow, steady pull or small jerking motions, and I just got in the habit of giving those small kind of jerking motions because I think it helps it work its way through the grass.
I think you're probably right, too. And there may be something in the grass that may catch a piece of the lead line or something. So the jerking like that helps it all come together at one time. So,
you know, but make sure, I mean, when I'm talking about slow jerking motions, I'm talking about moving my hand a half an inch at a time while bringing it back to me. So I'm probably, my arm extended, bringing it back to my chest, you know, figure 18 inches to 2 foot at a time. But each movement is about a half an inch, pull and release, you know. So I'm going to pull a half an inch, release back, pull an inch, release a half, pull an inch, release a half. It's very small movements that I do to try and get that net together without allowing the bait to get out underneath.
No, it's important. And there's little things like that that you learn, you know, over the years. You know, you've been throwing one a long time, so it's small things like that. When you're out there using them, you'll figure it out, but that's important.
Yeah, and there's no one way to throw a cast net. There are, you can be taught, and I teach people a couple of different ways of throwing a cast net. Now, I'm assuming you do what, a triple load?
No, we do a double load. We try to keep people dry, so it's kind of our dry double load, you know. But
cool. Now, that when I teach people, I tell them, don't worry about, you know, this is a way to throw a net. Like you say, there's triple loads, double loads, there's the chicken wing thing that I invented, there's the old cracker method where you put it in your teeth and you throw. There's a lot of different ways of throwing that. Now, I like the idea of staying dry. That's why I invented the way I throw. But the way I throw is the way I teach people to get started and tell them, don't worry about how you do it afterwards. As long as the net opens, that's fine. It doesn't matter what technique you end up with or where you go. The important thing is to learn how to do it first.
No doubt about it. It's to practice. We tell everyone the same thing. You've got to practice the load.
You're going to have to teach me your method, and we'll get together before the tent sale so you can teach me and some of our guys in that way. If they come back after the tent sale and need refresher lessons, we'll be checked out in your method.
No, I'd love to. And my, there's a video on our website, too, that has the exact load. So
yeah, I'm not much good with that.
No, I'm not either. I'm more of a hands-on, but yeah. It's there for refreshment if they need to be refreshed. So.
But that's the good part. You know, once, to me, it's when you learn from a person, you actually learn something. And then going back to watch the video to get the little things you might have forgot is a good idea.
Exactly. Maybe if you forget a piece here and there, but
right.
It's a we've been teaching the method a long, long time, and it works well. But again, there's a lot of different ways, and I get asked all the time, what's the best way to throw a net? And my answer is, if you open it, that's the best way that you're throwing. So there's not really a best way. It's just the one you learn, and hopefully it opens up for you. That's what you want.
Absolutely. So. Now, you're based right here in Southwest Florida.
Correct. Yeah, I'm in Fort Myers.
So I got news for you after the show. I'm not announcing it to the public yet, but remind me to tell you.
Okay.
We will be announcing it very soon. Good. And has to do with Fort Myers and Fish and Franks.
Good.
So, yeah. Look that's out, Fort
thing.
Myers.
I like that.
Guess
that's,
who might be showing
that's
up.
That's a good thing. There's room. Come on. Yeah. We got room.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. I'm sure it doesn't. I'm sure it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry about that.
That's good.
But, anyway, yeah, we've a lot of excitement on the horizon, but you know, I got to tell you, I've known about your nets a long time. I've used them nets; they're nice nets. I just want to take 2 minutes now. The Calusa and the Cracker. Now, the Calusa, you do extra stitching on the bottom mesh and on the horn and all that. Now, I like throwing the Cracker.
Cracker's an excellent net. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that net. Both of my nets are upper end nets. It's just that my Calusa is a little bit stronger in those points.
Okay.
But they're both soft. They don't have that springy feel to a lot of nets. A lot of less expensive nets, you'll feel that springy feel. My mono is very high quality mono on both of them, and they both sink real well, which is important. So,
well, getting it down there, because let's face it, you spent the money to get out, the gas money to get there on the boat. You know, you've got the cast net and everything else, and the bait's right in front of you, and then the net don't work. They're just
and I've seen it a lot of times, and a lot of people get very frustrated. But you just can't skimp on a cast net. You need a good one here. You really do. Right. So
anyway, I think it's going to be a very interesting. I'm looking forward to watching you guys doing the demonstrations, and like I say, myself and several of the pirate crew, he's going to be teaching us his method of throwing. So even if you go up that day and you just want to get your deals and discounts and work out all your stuff with Buster, I have absolutely no idea what he's going to do. But I kind of like it that way. I like the surprise of the whole thing. But you work out your deals with him. And like I say, number one most important thing when you come to the tent sale, ask good questions. You know, why am I buying this? What's the difference in this? What should I be using it for? Now, I'm going to go back on the flats to catch bait. What's the best net? I want to cast net out by the markers. What's the best net? I have this boat. I have a kayak. I fish off the beach. You know, ask. You know, try and figure out what you want to do with the net, and then ask Buster and his crew, what's the best net to do what you want to do with it?
Oh, that's a good point. We'll be happy to help anybody that comes by, obviously. We've been doing it a long time. Everyone here definitely has an advantage because we're from this area, so we know the waters. We know where bait is most of the time.
That's why I asked you to come to the tent sale. Everybody knows it's invitation only. I have to invite people. I'm, yes, an egotistical, eccentric, arrogant jerk. But
no, Frank.
It's the reason I pick the people that come to the tent sale is they're helpful, they're friendly, they're knowledgeable about the fishing we do, and that's what's key and critical to attending the tent sale, is talking to them, asking questions. It's the best learning experience if you take advantage of it.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is going to be a big sale for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah,
really,
it's a lot of fun, and we're really happy that you're joining us.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Thank you, Frank.
So, anyway, any last thoughts? I think we kind of covered it. It's really hard to kind of go over cast nets in general like this. And poor Buster, he walks in the store. I said, "Come on back. We're going to do a show." He's like, "What?"
Not a problem. I'm not a radio guy, but I do the best I can. But we'll have nets up. People will be able to grab them, feel them, touch them. Go through them, ask as many questions as you can, and we can grab it and throw it and see how you do. So,
and like I say, if you can't get in and get the lessons that day, we will be absolutely with, there won't be any problem. You can always come back later with your net, and we will help you in the parking lot at a more leisurely time.
Yeah, some people don't like to throw in front of crowds, they get embarrassed, but it's not a problem. You can't do anything wrong. We'll work it out.
Yeah. So you can ask questions that day, or you can just go up and talk to Buster and them guys and find out what the best net is for you, and then come back in on another day, and me or one of my guys will be happy to go out in the parking lot and make sure you're all checked out on the net. We'll absolutely, I promise you, we'll make everything good for you, and that you'll enjoy the net experience. And because throwing a cast net is pretty cool. I mean, you know, you hate to say it, but there's always a little bit of a bycatch. And one of the coolest things is at Marker 2, for about a month or two out of the year, you get seahorses.
I was going to say the seahorses. Yeah, you know, they're pretty cool, and everyone loves to look at them. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. So
I tell you what, I'm older than dirt and grease combined, and I get a seahorse, and I'm always so gentle trying to get him out and take care of him. And then you just sit there, and I'll put him in the live well for just a bit, just holding him in my hand and make sure he's all right and everything, and then putting him back in the water and watching him just kind of swim off in that goofy little seahorse.
That way they swim, yeah, it is fun. Very fun to do. I'm the same way with seahorses. I don't know what it is about them, but I do the
same
thing.
It's amazing. We were right on the same page.
Same thing with seahorses. Every time I get them, we look at them, you know, and everyone's careful not to hurt them. And
it's just one of those cool things that happens in Charlotte Harbor, is you're out there and you're thinking, oh, I'm going fishing and all this. And then all of a sudden you get this up, and I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like being a little kid. It's just the wonder of it all.
Yeah, you it know? Is fun. I enjoy it. I really do. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just, I knew we were going to get along. Yeah, I really did.
I don't know how we got on the seahorses, but we're both on it. And it's true, because I exactly what
out
I was
of
thinking
all
about.
The thousands of things. I mean, we catch, you know, up by the 41 Bridge, I've caught squid in a cast net. I mean, sea robins and all these amazing creatures. And we both did the seahorse thing,
yep,
right there.
Something must be the mermaid of the sea out there. We're both looking at them. So
I guess that's what it is.
We love them. So.
But these are the things that the unexpected, amazing things that you can do when you're catching your own live bait. Now, as kind of a final, my part, I don't know if Buster has anything to add, but always remember, when you catch your bait, we all like to catch bait, we all want to go fishing with it. Remember, take what you need, not what you want, and get enough bait to go fishing with, but you don't have to fill every live well on a boat full of bait. And when you're done fishing, not when you get back to the ramp, when you say, okay, we're done for the day, take the bait out of the live well and put it back into the water. Every two bait fish you release is 500 that can be there the next year. If you kill two extra baits by, okay, I'm going to run back, and then you put the boat on the trailer and go, oh, gee, I still got bait in there. This is not being a good human. A good human, a good environmentalist, you empty your bait out when you're done.
Well, it's just like releasing fish. It's the same thing now. Everyone has to conserve. Last thing we want is big government on our back, you know, telling us what net we can use. So the better we conserve, the more they'll stay off of us. So,
and people are doing it. More and more people, we've been pushing this for about last few years, and that is, you need to think of bait fish the same way you think a snook, redfish, trout. It is a fish. It needs to be taken care of.
Well, and it's an important fish, you know, out there, obviously.
Very,
you know,
important.
So I think a lot of people are getting that now. We got a new generation.
I think everybody kind of coming up in the ranks is kind of getting this. And the basic idea is take what you need, not what you want. And when you're done, release everything like you would release a snook or a redfish. Get it back in the water, you know, and let it make more babies.
I'm all with that. That helps me. So
anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair. We'll do our official get out of the show's music. And there it goes. All right. I'm the official producer, which is why nothing ever works right. Fish and Frank here. March 19th, the tent sale. We've got a most amazing lineup this year. And including in one of our star feature performers is Buster Klusinets.
That's important. I like to hear that. Thank you. Make me important. So we're going to have a good time. We'll be, everybody come out and see us. And please, we'll be happy to answer any questions. And you can grab nets and throw them. So,
all right. We will see you guys on March 19th. Thank you, Buster.
Thank you, Frank.
Catch you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.